If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. We're going to begin reading with verse 1. I will say, while you're turning, we're certainly glad to be here. Good to hear good singing. We got several traveling, got a little mission up at Cage Cove in Tennessee, and glad we got some up there, but glad we could all be here together tonight. Verse 1, 1 Kings chapter 21, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. And Ahab came into his house, heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Tonight, we're going to read some more in just a moment, but I want to remind us, really with a warning tonight, of covetousness. Beware of covetousness. And I know you say, well, we know this, preacher, but tonight I just want to come with a reminder, because covetousness is something I believe that slips up on each and every one of us. And whenever you think about covetousness, that is having a great desire to possess something belonging to someone else. So you look out here and somebody else has something, you say, well, I really do want that. The Greek word is betsa. It means gain. It means lucre. Really the greed of gain, the greed of lucre, the greed of profit. So we think about the scripture, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. And, you know, I think that has to do with being covetousness, covetous, and that is, you know, I want more. The love of profit, the love of gain, the love of lucre. You know, I believe that fits pretty good. The love of money is the root of all evil. So beware of always seeking and having to have something else. Don't you think that fits the culture we live in? Everybody looking, well, I want this. I want that. I want something better. I want something more. I need to have. Let's break down this interaction, if you will. Let's stop and consider Ahab. Here he is. He's in his palace, maybe. And, you know, I kind of picture him over here sitting on his front porch. And he's just looking out over here and he sees this vineyard. It's hard beside the palace. It comes right up to his land. And he looks over here and he sees this nice, beautiful vineyard. And he thinks, boy, I really do want that. I want that land. And so he goes and he begins to try to make a business deal with Naboth. And so he's maybe, I don't know, it may not be that way. But I see him kind of sitting on the porch and he's, you know, just looking. And, boy, that sure is pretty. I want that. I'm going to go talk to him. And so he pulls up and you kind of got to get the setting, because it's not just any old man come along. This is the king of Samaria, the king of Israel. And he comes to him. He said, look, I really want this piece of land. It joins up to my land, and I really want it. And I tell you what I'll do. I'm going to give you, he didn't just say, I'm going to give you a vineyard. He said, I'm going to give you a better vineyard. I'm going to give you a vineyard that's better than this one. I just want it because it comes up to my land. Now listen, he is in a position that he could afford that. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody can just, pull up, so I want this and I've got the money and I'm going to pay you good for it. And so he offers him a better piece of land. He even says, I'll give you the worth of it. So I believe in what he's saying, Brother Buddy, there is, you just name your price. I'm the king. I've got plenty of money. I want it. You name your price and I will buy that from you. And so he said, no, I can't sell it. What do you mean you can't sell it? What they say? I mean, everything's for sale. Everything's for sale. I'm sorry. I can't sell the land. I just can't sell it. That's Daddy's land. And Brother Dee, he has that right. That's Daddy's land. Got some sentimental value, maybe. But more than that, it's an inheritance from the Lord. That's what makes it special. More importantly, the Lord forbid it. God won't let me sell you this land. It's not God's will for me to let go of this land. Now, up until this point, so far, this is an honest business transaction. This is, two men discussing some business. I believe it's pretty honest. In fact, it's almost, I won't say, out of character for the king here, because he's usually pretty wicked. And yet so far, he's being very honest, and I'm trying to give you what the land is worth. I will give you a better piece of land. I will give you your price. You just name the price, and I'll give you whatever it is for this land. So nothing stands out to me, really, as being sinful. There's nothing wrong with men making a deal. There's nothing wrong with buying something. There's nothing wrong with selling something. But what happens next is what we have to guard our heart against. And that is, Ahab came into his house, and I'm going to just use this term, he pounded. Pounded. And it's really kind of a funny story, because he's a grown man. But he's got his eye on something, and he wants it bad. And this man, I tried to be fair. I tried to offer him the price for it, and he won't give me that, and I want it. So he comes in his house, and he pouts. Bible says he's heavy, and he's displeased. He laid down on the bed and would not get up. They call him for supper. He didn't come down. What's going on with Ahab? He's up in his room. What's he doing in his room? Well, he wanted a piece of land. He couldn't have the land. The man wouldn't sell it to him. So he's in there. He's just not going to eat with us. And so his wife, Jezebel, comes in, and boy, she begins to stir the pot. I mean, she's stirring him up. What do you mean he won't sell you that land? You're the king. Don't you govern all this? I mean, if you want it, go get it. It's yours. What's he going to do to stop you? In fact, I tell you what I'm going to do. You just lay right here. I'm going to get you that land. I'm going to take care of it for you. So she lets him know he's the king, and if he wants it, he has the right to get it. I think sometimes we get in our mind, boy, if I want it bad enough, I ought to be able to get it. So here you have the king, and we're through being fair. And I no longer care about the morality of it. I don't care if it's God's will or not. I just don't care. I don't care about the cost. I don't care about the morality. I am the man, and I deserve this special piece of land. So look at verse 13. And there came in two men. This is Jezebel, and she sent some men to have him killed. Verse 13. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, Naboth. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Now, can you imagine wanting something so bad you willing to just go kill somebody for it? Tell you what, that's what happens when people feel entitled. You start seeing this kind of stuff. He's so into, I'm the king. If I want it, I'll get it. I'm Jezebel. And if I want it, I'll take it. I don't care anything about what his God said. I don't care about that. All right, so look on over at verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where the dog licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Look on down verse 23. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. So I think tonight we've read enough to get across this thought. That there a key question that should matter more to us than anything we possess or anything we attempt to possess, and that is, does God want me to have it in the first place? I know you can say, well, this is this old evil king, and this is Jezebel, and you know, Ahab never was a godly man, and Jezebel come in and she just, you know, took him off into idolatry, and you know, they never were, they're very wicked people, and I'm aware of that. But certainly this kind of stuff shouldn't be named among God's people ever. But often it is. Often we get caught up in some kind of business deal, and you know, we let the old flesh kick in. I think it would be a good rule, just a good key to live by. Does God want me to have this? Hear a lot of talk nowadays. Well, if I want it, I'll be able to get it. When God says no, we ought to leave it alone. Period. Well, Jake, that's the way it is. If God does not give us peace with something, we ought to want to walk away from it. You know, no matter how good the deal may seem or how we feel like we might get over on somebody, if God does not want me to have it, I should want it in the first place. Too often we're so wrapped up in our wants and our desires that we don't even stop to consider, what does God want? What does God want from me? How does he want me to handle this? Look over at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, down about verse 15. Just this one verse, Jesus speaking to some that come, and they just fussing over an inheritance, and you know, he won't divide the inheritance right with me. And, sometimes family can they can be real ugly toward one another. And covetousness gets in the way sometimes. Verse 15, and he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now, again, I know that's familiar, but, and I, be honest, I don't know all the reason why God put it on my heart. I don't know who it would be to, but you stop and think, this idea, I must have the new shiny thing. I must have those new clothes. I've got to go on that vacation. I've got to do that. I must move to a new area and have this better paying job. And many times we don't stop and ask God, God, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? Remember Elimelech thought he had to move to avoid a famine? We go down to Moab and we'll do better down there. We'll prosper down there. This famine is heavy on us, and that's a good decision that I'm going to make for my family. And I've got to have more. The grass is greener on the other side. When I read that, first thing comes to mind, he should okay that with God first. I wonder what it would have been like if he'd okayed that with God. God probably wouldn't ever give him a green light on it. No, you can't go down there. Stay where you at. What would happen if Naomi, and I don't know the conversation that they had. She may have begged him not to go, but what would have happened, you reckon, if she would have said, let's pray about this first. See what God wants. I know things are bad. I know this famine is tough. I know that we're having problems, but let's pray about it first and let's see what God wants. I'll tell you what she said later on. She said, I went away full. I come back empty. A lot of times that's the way it is whenever we decide, I've got to do, I've got to have, I've got to better myself, and we don't stop and ask God, God, what do you want for me? The grass is not always greener. Sometimes, I know you've heard me say this before, sometimes the grass is greener over the septic tank. Don't make it better just because it's greener. Think about Israel and how that they got to a place to rob God in order to have what they wanted. And God even asked them a question, Malachi 3, will a man rob God? But you have robbed God. No doubt because they got greedy and they wanted what they wanted and they just forget about God. Haggai chapter 1, he says, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? You don't care about the things of God. It only what you want. You're putting your wages. He goes on in that same chapter. He said, you're putting your wages into bags with holes in it. God, what do you want me to do with what you've given me? That ought to be our desire. God, I want to know what you want in my life. Tell you something, that's not a crazy concept. That's a Christian concept. It's just it kind of fell by the wayside. Want the American dream. God want what God wants. It's not a foolish thing. Not a foolish concept whatsoever. You know, I had someone tell me, I'm not going to give you a name, this is somebody I respect greatly, but I think in this case was a very foolish counsel. And because he was a very wise man and I've received a lot of counsel from him, I said, I tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray about it before I even give you an answer on what you just said. And I hope that he would pray about it as well, maybe later on, see the error of what he said. But he told me, he said, let me see if I can get the word right. He said, Brother Brad, I don't think you care for your family unless you're willing to take 2 weeks off from your churches and go spend time with them. And that was such a shocking statement, I kind of laughed at all. I said, well, you may be right, he said. I know I'm right. He said, but you don't believe me. I said, what do you mean? He said, if you believe me and you love them like you say you do, you go ahead and tell that church you need 2 weeks off. That's a pretty harsh statement. You don't care about your family. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not against taking 2 weeks off now. I'm not against that. I'd be on the trail with gladness if God would okay that. But God hasn't okayed that for me. He may okay it for somebody that okayed it for me. Until then, I am content with what I have been blessed with. Bible says better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Covetousness causes us to be unthankful. It shows our unthankfulness. It makes us out to be spoiled brats a lot of times. Oh, in need of a good spanking from our Heavenly Father. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. God has blessed some with much gain. Gain is not a bad thing, but the love of money is. The love of money is wicked. Gain, the love of gain is sin. It's the root of all evil. So it's the downfall of the world. The root of all evil. So I want to encourage us tonight, set your affections on things above. There's great riches in just being satisfied with God. Godliness with contentment is great gift. That's for some.